All right. Good morning. I will call us to order for our regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, June 14, 2016, and ask if everyone would please join the Board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is a comment period for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to utilize this public comment period? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll go to consideration of minutes from June 7th.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion second. Any corrections, additions, or notations? Clinton?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes past 8, you should stay in Chitty.
I get that.
Consideration of personnel actions, we don't have any today. Consideration of claims, it looked like an end of the year kind of claims period to me, Wayne.
Yeah, close, but we got one, another one coming.
It was large.
Okay. Move approval with information as committed.
Second.
Got a motion second. Any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda. Board, please add road closures 1664 and 1665. And please add utility permit 1697.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. So, additional items. First item is consideration of any necessary permission to permit or hold an event for the Bible Reading Marathon at the Administration Building for the Iowa Prayer Caucus Network on Thursday, June 30th at 8 a.m. and estimate ending on Sunday, July 3rd at approximately 4 p.m. And also, access will be needed to electrical power for lighting at night. And Diana Egan is here to visit with us on this. Diana, how about if you go ahead and come up, sit in one of these chairs right here by the microphone. And if you wouldn't mind, introduce yourself with address, and then we'd love to talk to you.
I'm Diana Egan. I live at 2001 Prairie View West Drive, apartment 101 in Ames.
Is the green light on right in front of the microphone?
The green light.
Okay, perfect.
Can you hear me? I have a soft voice.
We want to make sure, so we're recording all this, and we want to make sure we can hear it from the recording.
There you go. Great.
This soft voice is the problem.
Oh, there you go. That's good. It's not soft anymore. Outstanding.
Now it's working.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good.
Well, thank you for coming to see us.
Well, let me say a little bit about what happened. In March, a group of Christians have determined through prayer that they wanted to read the Bible out loud in front of every courthouse in the 99 counties of Iowa. Governor Branstad signed a proclamation in April to that effect. Basically, I have a copy of it. Proclamation here. Right now, I only heard about this in late May, May 30th, as a matter of fact. So, Story County at this point did not have a chairman. And in spite of my health, I believe someone had to stand in the gap, and so I'm not the best representative of this organization or this group of people, but I am standing in the gap. And as of yesterday, we have a co-chairman who will help me. Five people who can stand and read the Bible out loud in front of the courthouse. You know, most counties have been very receptive of this. We understand that it's controversial. However, we also believe on a spiritual level that in lieu of the way our country is going right now and in the worldwide spectrum with ISIS and all the other things going on, Christians and others of faith need to be praying. And we also will be praying for all the leaders by name, the Board of Supervisors, the Sheriff, the mayors of the different cities, every day. And we will commit to that. Because the Scripture tells us that we need to pray for those that are in leadership so that we can live peaceful lives. And we believe in the promises of the Scripture the scripture says this is the way it is, then the result, which is a peaceful life, will happen.
So let me just make sure I understand. You're asking this board to, I guess, grant access to the property from the 30th through July 3rd.
That's right.
In order to read the Bible. And my feeling is, first blush, there's nothing controversial about this as long as this board of supervisors handles this in exactly the same way as we would any other request from a citizen, any other religion, any other anything. We've got to, it is inappropriate, in my view, for government to do anything that picks between religions. I mean, that's not our system, but it's completely appropriate for citizens to utilize public property to express their point of view, their belief structure, as long as they don't infringe on the business of the county, which clearly we would be operational on the 30th and the 1st, and they don't interfere with any citizens and their ability to live their daily life. And so that would, I don't think it's controversial at all as long as those two things. Now, I find access to electrical power for lighting at night to be problematic for two reasons. One, we have lighting out there at night already.
Right.
And two, I don't think we want to get into using public dollars in support of any kind of religious activity. So that's my point of view on this. I don't know if you gentlemen feel differently or would like to add anything.
We have an electrical outlet, I understand, talking to Cal's office in regards to the ability, if they were to need lighting for a podium or something, that is just no more than using a drop cord to get power to whatever we use to light the Bible as you read it. I would have to say, to me, that's a small contribution, and I get to the point on the aesthetics, where you don't want to be favoring one or another, but, I mean, you take everything on a case-by-case basis.
Well, so that's fine with me, Marty, as long as we would allow access for somebody reading, is it the Quran that is Islamic, anything else, I mean, up to and including that thing that you would hate the most to be read out in front of our courthouse. In my mind, we got to do exactly the same thing for everybody.
It is a slippery slope, and I don't see where you're... It's almost a damned if you do, a damned if you don't. You really aren't in a position to, I believe, say no, but I can understand why you might have pause to say yes.
So I think we are in a position to say no about utilizing electricity or anything like that. Absolutely. We just need to have the full conversation, Diane.
Exactly.
I believe that that's where, for me, the slippery slope gets going. If we're allowing, I don't want to unlock the building
no.
on the weekend. I don't want to allow access any more than anybody in the public could use. And I don't think we encourage members of the public to come up and plug in outside our building.
No.
And so for me, Diane, that I say, you want to come on our property and you're not going to disrupt the way we do. You want to come on county property, you're not going to disrupt business, you're not going to interfere with the goings-on of other citizens, and you're not going to utilize any taxpayer dollars. I don't think that's controversial at all.
Question here, is it any different in the car show? For example, Nevada Highway Days or Lincoln Highway Days, they've used the facility out here, the parking lot and so forth. I'm assuming that they have used some type of electrical hookup at some point for some things. Now, is it because, and I'm just assuming that, I don't know
yeah,
that,
don't.
They could be using their own power generators, which would be preferable. If not, my question is this different mainly because it's a religious organization or any outside group who wanted to come in and use the parking lot
it
area?
It should be no different, Wayne. It should be that we handle every group exactly the same way. So for me, I remember that we allow the use of our parking lot for the car show.
Yes.
I don't recall us ever expressly granting a group like that permission to utilize power or anything else. Cal's not here today.
I don't know either. I don't think we had.
So I would be opposed to the car show. I think it's inappropriate to use tax dollars, which I don't care if it's 4 cents coming out of the outlet. I think it's inappropriate to use tax dollars in support of something like that. And again, I think you're starting down a slippery slope if we start to allow that.
Right. Right. And that's my concern. And I just wanted to draw that parallel between.
We're fortunate to have
that,
civil counsel.
That situation.
That's parentals here.
I don't see an issue, and I believe your summation of the challenge before us, and I don't necessarily see it as a challenge, as long as we treat all religious requests in a similar vein as far as the ability to be out in front of the facility using the parking lot and things of that nature. I don't have a real problem with that. I certainly, feel that there are appropriate times and situations where people of faith should be allowed to gather in public to express their belief. But I would be very disturbed if they then wanted to prevent someone else or another group from doing the exact same thing. And so the big question that I would have here is, have you in the other 99 counties encountered any need for law enforcement presence? In other words, you've got other citizen groups coming in who observe what is going on and who wants to chastise some of your group and so forth. How do you plan to handle potentially those situations? Because in this day and age, I see that happening more and more than what it used to be.
I would have to talk to the leadership about that. I know they did a similar thing at the State House, and I think it was in February.
Right.
And there were people who came and were offended and were very offensive to the writers, to the readers, you know. But at that point, of course, there were courthouse policemen who probably were helpful. But I can check on that. I don't know.
If this is granted, I would certainly think you need to take that into consideration, because I'm familiar with what happened at the courthouse. I had just been there the day before, and I remember reading about that incident and so forth. And so while I certainly understand people's right to their own views and opinions, I think we have to recognize that there will be some who might find it not appropriate for us to be on a public facility or a courthouse facility, etc., for whatever reason.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we're calling for your permission, because when we have your permission, then we have something to stand on. You know?
We greatly appreciate the fact that you're giving us a heads up rather than us showing up on the 30th and all of a sudden seeing something going on. Jessica, please give the board some advice from a legal perspective how you see this.
Well, my name is Jessica Reynolds. I'm the first assistant Story County attorney. And public property can be used by the general public. So the request today, with the exception of the utilization of electricity, wouldn't have had to come to the board for approval. Public citizens can gather as long as they're not disruptive to county business and utilize public property. My understanding is it's the outside of the building, is that correct?
Yes.
So any, you know, internal use of the building would need to be have the approval of Board of Supervisors. But I agree with Supervisor Sanders' analysis regarding the board's ability to limit the use of electricity, other things that would cause the taxpayers to kick in additional funds. And the fact that it's a religious organization has no bearing on our analysis. We treat all organizations the same. And so the legal opinion of our office is that you're able to utilize the outside of the building as long as you're not disruptive or get in the way of county business, and that any additional requests like the electricity would be something for the Board of Supervisors to decide, and I would caution the board to treat everyone equally, which Supervisor Sanders already mentioned. Thank you.
Daniel, would you be able to do this without electricity?
I'm sorry, would you say that again?
is the electricity something you absolutely need or you just like?
In fact, each county is so different. We found it to be very fluid. In some counties, the sheriff will do a drive-by, you know. And in some counties, they don't want people on the county ground, so they stand on the sidewalk, public sidewalk around the courthouse. Some counties don't have courthouses. So it's been very interesting. I know the electric issue is really minor, you know. You know, I have one more thing I'd like to say because I'm older and disabled. I personally would need to sit on a bench, like one of the benches in front of the building, and I think there are going to be older women and men who would take part or who may be in poor health. And so that's something I'm adding to this. But again, it's still on the property. It's still outside. It's still non-intrusive to anyone. And as leader of Story County, I'm a very peaceful person. I'm also very much aware of the right to religious freedom and to free expression of ideas. And so I would be teaching the people who come how to handle situations which could become verbally, argumentative in a very, very peaceful way. Because that's how I live my life. And as a person who stood up for this county, that's how we teach people to handle situations. I don't know that we will have any situations, but we do have a university, and we have a lot of people who may find this very offensive, you know. But we will do it quietly. We also may not be able to do it around the clock. That's an ideal. But we're getting into this so late, and we have so few people involved at this point. I personally don't think we're going to be able to do night reading. I think it'll be mainly during the day.
Okay, so I find, and Jesse, you help me through this, and Board, you have the ability to overrule me if you so desire. I find through this conversation that we don't need to grant a permit. We don't need to give permission for you to be out on our property. I think it's completely appropriate that we acknowledge that you brought this to us and that we are completely supportive of all our citizen groups utilizing county property in any appropriate way that they see fit. I would ask, Diana, that you reach out to both the Nevada Police Department and the Sheriff's Office to let them know that this is going to be going on. And I would think it would be appropriate for us to do the same with both of those entities. Not that we granted approval or anything else, but just that we're supportive of our citizen groups utilizing county-owned property. And so I don't think that requires action from the board other than acknowledgement that you guys will be here from the 30th through the 30th.
That's
the way I would see it.
So if I can get that in a motion, we can consider that.
Okay. I would move that we acknowledge the request to hold an event for a Bible reading marathon at the administration building on Thursday, June 30th through Sunday, July 3rd. Without any use of electrical power or, you know, generated.
I will second that as stated.
Any further discussion? Diana, anything you'd like to add before we vote on this?
No, I'm happy with the conclusion.
Is there anything anybody else would like to add before the board votes on this? Okay. Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It is acknowledged. Thank you very much. Next item is consideration of request for additional relief for Crestview residents. And somehow Rick Sanders put this on the agenda. I'm going to ask Deb Shildroth to come up so that her and I can talk about this. So at the Board of Health meeting last Tuesday, there was a request made by a representative of Amos that the county consider upping the $1,000 per residence that we've agreed to make available to assist with any transition costs that might happen to the resident. I don't think there was a dollar limit placed on the request of Amos. They wanted us to consider upping it and allowing it to be used for a multitude of things. They also requested that the county supply drinking water to the residents of Crestview as long as there was a boil order on. And did they request anything else or just those two things?
Just those two things.
Okay, and so I stated that I would bring it forward to the Board of Supervisors for consideration. I'll tell you what I've done in the meantime. Reached out to emergency management and asked them to look to see if there were opportunities for different people in the community to provide drinking water to the residents of Crestview or any kind of potable water. We did find out on Tuesday that the people who own the ice place, and Austin, I'd like credit to them for this. If it works its way into your three things that you might have learned from the Board of Supervisors, the people who own the ice place right there on the corner of Franklin and Lincoln Way have been providing free water to any residents who bring a container and fill it up there. We also learned that Lowe's had, in fact, agreed to donate water to the residents, and when they inquired about delivering it to the property, they were told by the property owner, they were denied access by the property owner. He declined to have that water delivered to Crestview. Now, I understand that the water that Lowe's wanted to donate now has found its way across Lincoln Highway on private property owned by George Belezos for availability for the residents of Crestview. I'm not sure if the residents of Crestview are aware. I'm not sure how comfortable I am with the residents of Crestview crossing Lincoln Highway right there. But that has all happened with the water. I've asked emergency management now to hold off on securing water because it doesn't make any sense to secure it if we can't get it there and have them use it. Okay, go. Yeah.
You've covered a lot of it.
That's right.
Yeah, I would just reiterate the water situation. Residents now actually have three options. The boil order is still in place. They can access the water, bottled water that's been donated by Lowe's, and that was also coordinated with primary health care in Ames. And then I think it's the Iowa Ice Company that's located on Franklin and Lincoln Way, bringing container, and they can fill up with water there. So those sources are available to individuals if they so choose to utilize one or more of them. In terms of the additional assistance that was brought up at the Board of Health meeting, I understood that to be within the context of moving a mobile home, because moving a mobile home is costly. I don't have a specific dollar amount as to what that cost is, but there is a mobile home park that is across Lincoln Way or Lincoln Highway, then to the west, that's located in Boone County, whose owner has said, I'll move your mobile home for free. And then I think he's also giving them a break on lot rent for a number of months. At this point, I don't know that we've had specific requests to assist with moving a mobile home, and Carla Webb from Community Services is here with us today, and maybe could help provide some clarification on that request and maybe also give an update on the number of requests that have been received for county assistance through the Community Services Office.
Good morning.
Hi there, morning.
Hello. So last week at the Board of Health meeting, I reported we have six pending applications. Last week and into this week, we've tried to do follow-up with those individuals. Some folks we've had to leave messages for, received calls back, and we're kind of playing some phone tag. Another individual we just spoke with earlier today who is looking to move his mobile home, but it would be to the park that Deb just mentioned. So we've expressed to him, if you find out that is not going to be moved at no cost to you, get back in touch with us, and we'll look at what we can do. We did pay assistance for two individuals who moved out of county, and we paid rent and deposits for them. I don't have any specific dollar amount or anything that I can give you today for an individual that's looking to move their mobile home and how much that would cost. I think people are still just trying to formulate their plans and figure out what they're doing. So I don't know what would be needed above and beyond the $1,000 at this point.
Yeah, well, and so I believe that that gets us into the weeds, in that I am aware that right now there's about $74,000 in back taxes on some of those mobile homes out there, and before anything can get moved, the taxes need to be current. And on top of that, I don't believe, so the county, I believe, did exactly what it was supposed to do in finding some dollars to assist residents with moving. I don't think that means assisting you with taking your house with you. If you want to do that, you need to figure it out. If you want to move somewhere else, we stand ready to assist up to the $1,000. And I get concerned what the county's responsibility, or what's the appropriate level of support for the county and the precedent that sets. Wayne, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I thought when we approved the $1,000, we were very clear in how those dollars would be used, and specifically you talked about it would not go towards paying off back taxes and things of that nature, and it was strictly in the being able to relocate. It's troubling to me that we have a request to increase the funding but not a specific amount, or identifying a specific need. So I think that right now I'm comfortable with us keeping maintaining the $1,000 per individual that we have put in place. And if we find later that through local support from say Lowe's, the bottled water, the water issue is a real problem, we can come back and revisit that portion to determine if we need to do something else in helping to assist with making sure water is available. A lot of times, just our ability to use our different service providers to reach out to others, there are other agencies that can step up. There are local churches, there are a lot of other groups that do things like this. So I think we've made a good initial attempt at this point, but without more specific dollar figures and things of this nature, I would be reluctant to ask us to increase any additional dollars at this point.
I agree, Wayne, in the sense that I come to this as a fresh face up here, but I am struck by the fact that you could have a mobile home with $74,000 of unpaid back taxes. That said, I guess in speaking with the treasurer's office, and if I'm correct, that there is some question on ownership in regards to some of these structures. I think Wayne, he gets it pitch perfect when he says, county's in a position to be of help to people as they transition from this facility possibly to another one. But I don't think it's an open-ended offer, and these are tax dollars that we try to husband and be responsible for. So I would have to say I probably am disinclined at this time to move to spend any additional dollars until we have more certainty. And as July 5th approaches, and this facility both falls under the aegis of the DNR and if not the county, I think we are in a transition phase, and I don't feel comfortable making anything tangible.
Super. I think that's really clear. I think that if that's you guys' feeling, there's no action required from the board. I'll tell you that I agree with the stance both of you guys took. So if there was action, we would be in agreement. I don't think any action is needed to stay right where we are. I would like to I publicly talked about the people who own the ICE place on the corner of Franklin and Lincoln Way. I think that's outstanding. That's outstanding citizenry. I also want to compliment Lowe's for standing ready. I learned last night that Lowe's provided water to the Ames School System, as Ames School System had problems with water in one of their schools. So in Meeker, yeah. And so clearly Lowe's deserves all of our thanks and appreciation for being a great community partner. And Carl and Deb, please keep us up to speed. Marty mentioned that the Board of Health meets again on July 5th, and I expect that that meeting is going to get us close to resolution of this issue. It's a tough issue. please keep the board informed. Thank you very much. Next is discussion and consideration of Micah's request for assistance for the dental clinic in the amount of $50,000. Dan Shildroth and Gloria Simons.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Micah's dental clinic, which is located in Ames and serves Story County and some of the surrounding counties, is in need of some additional support for operational costs. And I'm going to turn it over to Gloria to just give a thumbnail sketch of what those needs are, and we can enter into further discussion.
I had sent a request to Deb asking for additional funds for the Story County Dental Clinic because this year we found that we were using in excess of $120,000 of agency funds to support the clinic, and we're still falling short. We have made some transitions this year. We put in electronic records, electronic billing. We're working with Dental Wellness Program, which is a tiered program. So unlike Medicaid, where you can provide as much services as is needed for your patient, you are limited in what you can do until the patient moves through a tiered system. So that we're learning how that affects revenue, but we're also learning how to do some office management to make sure that we are able to generate the revenue we expect or need to keep the clinic in operation. We have over 4,000 appointments a year. Last year we served over 1,400 different individuals, and for most of the people we serve, they don't have another option. There are dentists that take Medicaid, but typically they have a limit as to how many they will take. So oftentimes it's difficult for patients to find a dentist. The same with dental wellness. There are dentists that will take them, but oftentimes they have a limit as to how many they will take. So it's difficult for patients to find a dentist to provide dental care. These are folks that will wind up in the emergency room, and we are establishing relationships with emergency rooms to be a referral system to get individuals hooked up with dental clinics, the Story County Dental Clinic being one of them, but any dentist that would accept the form of payment they have available to them. We also had a staffing change this year, which affected the kind of services we could provide. There were days that we had no dental assistant, so it was difficult to do the more complex procedures that generate additional revenue when the dentist was operating by himself. There's limits to what you can do, but we are now full staffed. We have an excellent office manager that is very familiar with the software that we have that provides our scheduling and our billing process. We're learning more every day. I can't say that this process hasn't been without its bumps, but we're learning how to make sure we recover the revenue that we need to recover.
And I just have a couple of statistics that I think are important for the board to know about as we discuss this further. With the dental clinic primarily serving low-income and families, between October of 2015 and March of 2016, 75% of the appointments are Story County residents. So that kind of puts that into perspective. The dental clinic has had a full-time dentist now going on 3 years.
He's starting his third year, which is unbelievable.
Prior to that, the dental clinic was relying on volunteer time for local dentists to fill in and provide the services. So having a full-time dentist is definitely a plus. Asset funds for fiscal year 16 totaled $54,338, and that was from Story County, the City of Ames, United Way, and Iowa State Student Government. Story County portion of that was about $9,000, and MICA exhausted those funds as of December. So they have not been able to pull down any additional county funds since December because of utilizing them at the mid-fiscal year. Going into fiscal year 17, MICA's budget to asset focused on the dental clinic. And so the increases in the dental clinic services were asked of all the funders. And on the average of a 33% increase over fiscal year 16. So starting July 1st, the total amount of asset dollars from all four funders will be $72,535. And $12,370, or a 38% increase, is coming from the county alone. So that's kind of where we are going through the asset process, providing dollars for the services. And my understanding, Gloria, with the request that's before the board, that's for fiscal year 16?
Yes.
So this is the request for $50,000 is to make sure that MICA is not having to use general fund dollars, an excess of general fund dollars in support of the dental clinic for 16. It does not address 17. And so my question, Gloria, is sustainability for it. You touched on it as you were talking, that you're feeling good about some of the new processes you put in place. You're fully staffed. You've got some new technology that's going to help. How does the MICA board feel about the sustainability of this vital program?
Well, we're watching it extremely closely, and it requires an eagle eye on it at the moment. We are also expanding our efforts to raise community dollars. We have a wonderful community that we couldn't do what we've done for the over 10 years that we've been in business without the community support. But we're looking to expand that reach. Like Deb said, it's like 78% as it varies year to year, but it's somewhere between 75 and 80% of the individuals served to Story County. Well, we're also looking to approach other counties that have a higher usage. We have a number of people coming from Boone, and we plan to reach out to those individuals as well. Some of the streamlining we can do with the scheduling and billing now will save staff time. So we'll reduce our staff costs. And we're also looking to increase our fundraising activities to include events and do some more outreach. So can we guarantee that this will be, it will always require community support. When you're working on revenue, that is somewhere between 30 and 50% of the cost. You're always looking for that. But one thing we are never short of is people that need our service.
Right.
And when 20, I think it was last year, was 28% were children. And the cause of 25% of school absenteeism can be related to oral health. Now, Deb was saying there was a time where we were working with volunteer dentists, then we had contract dentists, then we had dentists that would work for us for a year, but you cannot build a relationship in that time. Because what you want is preventative care. And the way DWP started, there were people that were coming to us that haven't seen a dentist in 20 years. So you can imagine the state of affairs. And but we had to just do an exam, and we have to do an assessment with the DWP program. We get $10 for that assessment. Takes a half hour, 45 minutes. We get $10. Now, they say we have incentives, and this year, last year we got $10,000 in incentive. This year we got $17,000 of incentive. So I'm encouraged, but, you know, they say you get a percentage. Well, the more people that meet the goal, the fewer dollars you will get. So the need for the dental clinic is there. We had a family come. They looked for a year and a half for a dentist to take DWP because they moved out of Ames. And then they came back to the dental clinic because they couldn't find one. And the son's teeth needed quite a bit of attention. So the need is there. Filling the chairs is not the problem. But continually finding the support required to keep it going will always be relying on community support. I can't, you know, although we're minimizing as much expenses as possible, and our dentist does not make the going rate. For a dentist.
Sure, I think it's phenomenal that he's been there, or she has been there for 3 years. That also concerns me because unless his life purpose is to serve like this, there's going to come a day that monetarily it's going to be harder and harder for him to stay. And so I'm wondering about what the longer range plan is because I see real value in having consistency there. So I'm one of those that I firmly believe that the county and all local governmental entities, and I would even throw United Way into this, we have a role to assist when there is a one-time need like this that's in excess of our traditional funding. Now, clearly we recognize that there needs to be an increase in our traditional year-to-year funding, and in fact, I think you said 38% is where the county went of a 33% overall increase. My concern is that if there's not a sustainable path, then this extra $50,000 request becomes an annual request, and I don't see a way that the county could do something like that. And so I just want to make sure that we're touching all the bases as we do this.
Well, to address your first response, first question or concern, I can't speak for Dr. Walker, but I can tell you what he has told me, that he is committed to this. And if you read the Ames Tribune article that was in a few days ago, he loves his job.
Okay.
That was the best sentence in that article, as far as I was concerned, because it's tough if you don't have a dentist that's committed to this work. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of job. We serve many disabled people with physical disabilities, medical disabilities, mental health disabilities, and they're coming back so that you can do the preventative care, and those relationships are being established. So you're right. When a dentist leaves, it is a challenge for us, and I'm hoping we don't have to cross that bridge anytime soon. But we're also, that is not outside of our vision as to be having that, what would be the plan?
To my two colleagues here, 2 months ago at the MICA board meeting, I represent the board on the MICA board, and considerable amount of discussion went into the challenge that the dental clinic was faced. The finance committee spent a greater part of their deliberation, and when it came down to outlining what Gloria has basically said here, it is something that we're going to have to come find other funding streams, other assistance, asking for ways to generate additional funds from the community at large. And she mentioned about reaching out to some of the other counties where we're finding a few people from those counties are now utilizing the facility. If you haven't had a chance to go over and see the facility, you know, we used to be in the human service building on the lower level there for years, and when we moved into this beautiful facility there, and we were able to not only provide more clinical staff as well as a dentist to perform the service, I think it has certainly served the citizens of Story County extremely well. However, it's going to continue to rely on support, monetary support. I got the feeling that the type of board was saying that without some of the additional funding that we could come in, that we are requesting as of July, then we would have to sit back and then determine whether or not we're going to be able to continue the operation. And that is something that they did not want to see happen. That's why we're hoping that maybe appealing to the community at large, that there will be others that will be able to help fill the void. But I think some of the things that are now put in place, the electronic system, and a way to actually receive revenue again for some of the services that is provided there, will help improve over time. But if I had to tell you that a year from now or 2 years from now, there wouldn't probably be a request to either maintain some level of funding similar to where we are now, I would probably be remiss in my thinking, because I believe that the number of clients is increasing, the number of people that need the service is certainly there. We would like to be able to expand and have a few other dental assistants there to be able to serve more and more people, but the finances aren't in place to be able to do that. So I do think that I was at the meeting, recognized that we needed to move forward and ask the county and ask United Way, the city, to see if they could assist in helping us reach the shortfall. But you guys know as well as we do, when we look at our budget, that if we're all of a sudden having to use the general fund dollars to shore up a program like this, you can only do that for so long, because a lot of the programs and services that MICA get receives sure. through grants. We apply through various entities to sustain many of those things, whether it's the WIC program, and just I could probably...
Well, we count on MICA to do so many things. It's troubling to me that MICA is having, at this point, depending on where these requests all go, MICA is having to utilize dollars that are so important to us in other places in the community for something like this. That's troubling to me, but I have to look at it from a sustainable point of view. Marty, you have any comments?
Well, Gloria, thank you for coming in today. Several, I have a rolling series of questions for you. So you said early on this year you run out of funds to address this particular operation. I mean, you had said that you had, do I understand you correct?
Well, we dedicated so much CSBG money
right.
to support the dental clinic, and the agency has done that from the beginning and plans to continue that. Hopefully not at the $124,000, and the last look was a little over that, but since this request, we did get $35,000 from United Way.
So the $50,000 you're asking from us makes you whole for this fiscal? Is that?
Well, I think it keeps us out of the general fund. But, you know, you're asking me to predict revenue, you know,
no,
and I'm saying we're all, all I can see is the revenue going up because we're figuring out how some of these new programs work, what happens if some of the services get denied, and then you need to go back and either negotiate those with the insurance company, but then you learn what will be denied and what will be approved, getting the services that need pre-auths, getting those in a way that they would like. So it's been a learning time, not only with the new electronic system, but with the new funding system. What I can't predict, and I think we can be certain that eventually the rest of Medicaid dental services, which was not included in the MCO transition, will eventually head down that road.
Have you made an appeal to any other agencies for help?
United Way And I have meetings set up to talk to some city council members.
And Mary Greeley came in $15,000.
And Mary Greeley came in with $15,000.
But you requested $50,000 from United Way and got
$35,000. I did not identify in writing an amount to Mary Greeley.
And they came in with
$15,000. I verbally asked for $50,000 and got $15,000.
Okay.
But I, you know, they have a lot going on.
Thank you.
What does a routine visit cost? Your cost, not any revenues that come along, might or might not come along with that. What does a routine visit cost?
What I can talk about what it costs us for a day. Our daily costs run between $3,500, somewhere in that ballpark. That's staff, utilities, rent.
And what's an average number of people that you'll see in a day?
Well, we have two dental hygienists. One works full time, one works part time. We try to schedule 10 patients per person, so that'd be 10 for Dr. Walker, 10 for the hygienist. So somewhere between 20 and 30 patients are scheduled. Now, our no-show rate, because we all have those, is really, if we're full staffed and up and running, has been about 16%, which is not bad. Many dental offices are upwards in 30 and 40% no-show. So we're doing well in that area, and we have a list of call-ins so that if we have a vacancy, we can call somebody in. So our revenue, it's hard for me to look back at that because we had those days without staff, full staff, so you were running about $1,000, $1,500. But we're hoping that we can are able to average about $2,600 to $2,800 a day. We've been there. We can get back to that.
Okay. So since I've got an Alabama education, I try to keep things as simple as possible, especially when it comes to math. I'm hearing about $3,000 a day is your cost, right?
A little bit more.
And you'd like to see 30 patients a day, which even I can do that math and say that's roughly $100 per patient that it's costing you. So here's where I am before the board votes on this. I find this to be a vital program for Story County. I think it benefits. We just talked about Crestview. I mean, in many ways, we're talking about the same citizens that are living in Crestview that are at the dental clinic. So regardless of where the board goes on this, I am going to contribute $100, so one patient visit, I'm going to contribute $100 a year, and I challenge everybody in Story County who feels strongly that this is a vital service that we absolutely need to provide to those that are utilizing this service to do the same, and we'll start there.
Thank you, Rick.
Action from the Board of Supervisors.
Well, I've got to ask the Assistant County Attorney, since I serve on the board, Micah, do I have to recuse myself from this vote, even though I know we fund them through the asset process and so forth, and I certainly understand the need for that, but I do want to acknowledge that there's a responsibility when we sit on these boards to advocate on behalf of the agency to the fullest. And I fully understand where they're coming from and where the need is and see the work that is being done to keep this a viable program. But I need to turn to you on whether or not I should actually participate in the vote.
Appreciate your abundance of caution, but you don't have a vote on it.
I don't.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I would just say if we start having conflict of interest based on the boards we're serving on, I mean, what are we serving on? We're on 35 boards between the three of us. We're only going to have two people voting on any given action. Okay, further discussion or a motion? Well, I'll make a motion. I move that, first of all, Deb, $50,000.
In the allocated funds.
In asset unallocated, is there any money there? And maybe Barbara is the right one to ask.
Lisa's certainly welcome to come and join me. Her and I talked about where there could be a source of dollars for this. There's not that level of funding available in asset at this point in time. We'll have a better idea after the claims come in by the end of this week to see what all is available, but it's not to this level. There are some dollars available through the health services area within the county's budget that could be accessed for this purpose. And the other comment I want to make, too, because I think it's important for the board and the public to know, is the United Way allocation, the $35,000, was noted as a one-time amount.
And I'm getting there.
And, well, we're getting close to there, too. There's no doubt about that.
Lisa, tell me what's available.
Yeah, Deb and I talked about the fact that there is not any room in the asset portion, or very little. However, in the service area that these are provided in, there is some budgetary dollars that would come out of the general fund ending fund balance.
Tell me about those budgetary dollars. What do we have there?
We have grants, community service grants that don't come in until next
year. So I'm
moving
for $35,000. Are you comfortable with $35,000 as far as making the numbers work? Here's my motion.
Numbers work at 35.
My motion is that Board of Supervisors grant one-time support to the MICA Dental Clinic in the amount of $35,000. It is absolutely one-time. This is about getting up, getting the program on its feet. This should not be viewed as sustainable in the future. This is simply stepping in when we're in crisis to assist a program that I feel is completely vital. So that's my motion.
I will second the motion.
Discussion.
I was going to go $49.50, but knowing how frugal you are with looking at it, the method would be utilizing ending fund balance dollars because we don't have them through the asset funding. We have to look at this in the same manner that the MICA board is looking at, you know, its total operation and things of this nature. So I think this will allow them to basically continue operating, but I do think that they're going to need to do more in the area of fundraising and reaching out to the public and other entities to be at the level of service that we'd really like to see for the dental.
And for Marty, my rationale, not only do I believe that there's available funding in a budgetary line item to take an action that I think is warranted for a great organization and great service, but this board 6 years ago started to view our relationship and asset, and I know you don't have a huge depth with our asset process, but we are partners with City of Ames, United Way of Story County, us, and the government, student government body of Iowa State.
And a region
for mental health services.
Right.
But I truly view and have viewed the partnership between Story County, Ames, and United Way as a co-equal partnership in making this asset process one of the finest in the state, the finest in the state. I'm not even going to hedge on that one. And I feel strongly that when one of our partners steps up and supports a request like this, it behooves us to fully consider the same kind of level of support. I'm not trying to suggest what I believe Ames ought to do. I'm telling you the way I view the relationship in asset.
I don't disagree. I get to see and hear on an anecdotal basis in education here at the Mid School District the trials and tribulations of our students that, you know, sending a child into get an education if they're not the nutrition is such they don't feel eating because of their teeth and the pain that they might incur. And if you have the expectation of this child's success, you really have to be in the position, if you can do something, you should do something. So I concur in this, and I would like to hope that your agency has success in soliciting not only from us, from other agencies as well. I agree with $35,000.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Marty, I think that's a great point. The children that the Mike Adena family is seeing, it's not like they're picking between desks. They're going to the dental clinic or they're not seeing a dentist. And so I think you're dead on. Wayne, anything further before we vote?
No.
I made the motion. I'll go first. Sanders, aye.
Putnam, aye.
And Chitty?
Aye.
It passes $35,000. It is just to get us through this year.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your support.
You're welcome.
I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is discussion and consideration of agreement between Story County and Dakota Access, LLC, for secondary roads, haul damages, and permit. Darren Moon. Thanks, Carla. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning. I've brought this report in the past, but we've been through a number of drafts. As you know, we're finally to a final draft here. What kind of happens, we started out with a Story County specific agreement with the pipeline. There's 14 counties the pipeline has to work with. They wanted to come up with one that all the counties would agree to. That's a very difficult thing to do. So we kind of end up with this, which is kind of a hybrid, Story County and 14 kind of one took out our dust control requirement, and that was one of the most important items in here as far as I'm concerned. So we got that back in the agreement for dust control. Just in general, some of the topics in here. Exhibit A is the map that shows the roads that they would use, both paved and gravel roads, as their haul routes. And those are also the routes that will be dust controlled. I did update that map this morning with Shelley. It's the same roads that we adjusted the color so it's more obvious which roads we're talking about. Back to the second page at the bottom, it, we will dust control 200 foot at intersections and then 400 foot length in front of houses. For residents that currently get dust control, Dakota Access will replace that dust control. They'll essentially get one more application at the end to kind of rejuvenate it. So we won't be giving out refunds. Number 11, restore the roadway to pre-haul conditions. Of course, in the end, we're going to do an inventory to make sure. I'm not expecting a lot of road damage out of this. We're talking 15 trucks per mile that bring the actual pipe in. Other than that, that's the heavy load, and I don't think they're all that heavy. There'll be a lot of traffic generated from the workers out there. It'd be the main thing, in my opinion, for the traffic volumes. But, we're not talking a lot of damage. Especially if this is in the spring, I'd be a little more concerned with frost blows we have in the spring. But this will be under dry conditions, so the dust would be the biggest issue.
Darren, do we know, as far as transporting workers, are they just going to expect the workers for each mile to show up? And I mean, are we going to have 20 pickup trucks every time they put in a pipe, or are they going to have one load, you know, like we do when we're harvesting, right?
Parking lot. In general, the past pipelines, the smaller ones that went in, yeah, there were a lot of pickups out there.
Okay.
This is a bigger scale, so it could work differently. I don't know those details yet. The exhibit B is the surety bond, and that did come in this morning, and I gave that to Shelley as well, signed for $100,000. We were at $75,000 before, but we got that bumped up $100,000 to kind of match some of the surrounding counties.
And like you said, hey, you're not expecting a lot of damage, but worst case scenario, do you feel like even if there is more damage, you expect $100,000 would keep us whole?
Correct. And even if it's more, the grid structure is responsible for it.
Correct. Well, I said worst case scenario.
County agrees, but Wayne, you commented on this one, that issuing permits required by DAPL. We had other permits required. We've already issued the driveway permits. They both had a lot of temporary drives at every crossing and then a couple permanent. Those haven't been issued. And then a utility permit, which is essentially the road crossing permit, which all the roads are going to be bored, so they pretty much aren't stepping foot in the road right away. They dig bore pits and bore under. That has also been issued. And then the only other permit would be through the drainage districts. You approve that agreement with the drainage districts. ISD is working on that process. They have to apply for the easement permit through the drainage district, but we just have the one.
And we'll have to be the drainage district trustees to approve that.
Scott's been working through that. Scott Wall recently finished over that money that $7,500 per drainage district crossing comes into, and I think it comes into the drainage district account, and then the account will pay ISD for. ISD has to design that pipe, the tile for the 1-inch drainage coefficient, so they're, I think they've done that already, so because we're getting bills on it already. But so I don't expect that permit to take too much longer.
Good.
That's the only thing that's left as far as permits.
Mr. Chair, as he's talking about this particular issue, I asked him right before the meeting a concern that was brought to my attention. Anytime you see a statement which says issue any permits required, it's very problematic. But down below, as Darren said, I want to make sure we qualify that any permit will be issued as long as they meet the requirements of the other permits as is stated here, because each permit has certain requirements that have to be met, and I want that to be clearly understood that this is not a carte blanche thing that any permit is going to just automatically be accepted if there are certain requirements that come with those permits. Those must be met in order for us to move forward, and I just want that to be very clear if this agreement is adopted.
Absolutely, and it's noted in the agreement, as you point out, Wayne, that we would agree to issue permits as long as the requirements of that permit are met. And the other thing I want to point out is don't confuse permit for easement. We still have the easement for the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail, Darren, which doesn't flow through you, although I'm sure you will comment on it. It flows through the Conservation Board and then ultimately the Board of Supervisors. This does not impact that in any way, shape, or form.
That's not a permit.
Right. It's an easement, right? I just didn't want there to be confusion. So when the county starts talking about permitting things, sometimes that can be construed to mean doing more than we're doing. Anything to add?
No, I just comment the county attorney's been involved with reviewing all the drafts and reviewed this final draft. So
yeah, thanks to Ethan and Jessica both for their work on putting this together. Thanks to Dakota Access for working with us. I understand trying to get one agreement that fits everybody, that's just not a possibility. And I'm glad you got something, Darren, that you think would be acceptable strictly for the damage to our roads and maintaining our roads. That's all we're talking about today. Thoughts, Board?
I think you've already gone to the trouble of checking us out to serve the county and hold us harmless. Appreciate the work that's done on our behalf. I would just want to know if this is on an approved basis, what is the length of construction time?
I'm hoping that the next item, Code Access might comment on that a little bit.
All right.
The latest is the pumping station, which we'll get to in the next item on the agenda. That's already started as of this week. The pipeline construction started in southwest Iowa. They're not anticipated to come here for a while, but I don't have a good time frame, at least a couple weeks.
Right, but to Marty's question, this agreement is in force all the way through completion of construction and you going out and surveying the road condition and seeing where we are. So whatever that end date is,
was anticipated to be in service this fall, but there's been delays, so I haven't got an update on the end date, but worst case scenario.
Okay. Board, desired action.
I would, let me see. I got to go back and see what it reads here.
Yep, your item 4.
Oh, move approval of the agreement that has been worked out and viewed by the county attorney's office with Dakota Access regarding the haul agreement.
Super. Motion to approve secondary roads haul, road damages, and permit.
And second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Darren, thank you for your work on that. Jessica, and please pass on to Ethan our thanks for your work on that. Next item, continuing the same vein, discussion and consideration of waiver of liability between Story County and Dakota Access, LLC, and I wouldn't say necessarily between. I would say this would be Dakota Access relieving Story County of any liability in the event Story County grants a waiver to do something with 303rd. Darren, okay, so Marty wasn't here when we first talked about this back in April, so go way back and just talk us through how we got here.
Kelly, you want to hit the lights? First, let's get the location down so you know exactly where we are. On the left of the screen is the interstate. You kind of see the new set the rest stop. And then just to the left of that is Dream Lake, if you're familiar with Dream Lake is. So the road is right in the middle there, the east-west green line. And on the right of the screen, the north-south road is 570th Avenue. You can see there's one parcel out kind of on the south. Southwest corner there, a small parcel. It's a recent parcel that CIPCO has already built their utility substation in. So CIPCO has used this is a 1 mile stretch of road. Well, it's a half mile. Level B, about 15 years ago, we designated about 26 miles, I believe, of Level B roads. At that point, it probably would have been vacated, but there's property landlocking issues. The only reason there's a public road left there. So that's why we made those Level B on most of them. And that would be, the pipeline actually owns that property on the southwest. And they would be landlocked if that Level B road was vacated. CIPCO came in when they started construction because they were concerned. Here's a picture of what the road looks like. You can see the yellow signs on the right. That's the Level B limited maintenance warning signs.
You didn't take this yesterday because we didn't have any snow on the ground yesterday.
Little snow. But there is no rock whatsoever on that road, so when we get any rain at all, access is an issue. So a couple of issues came up. One, how was CIPCO going to build all of it? They had two 250,000-pound transformers that had to come in there. They did get those in. They had a dry period. Somehow they got them in there. The other issue is a new 911 address was issued for CIPCO, and that's an issue of liability. How did emergency services get back there? Is this a Level B road? There's times when we won't be able to get back there. So we want to make sure they were aware of that up front. Unfortunately, nobody came to the county ahead of time to try to plan for this, so every step of this has been kind of an emergency. We need to get in next week and do work back there. That's where we kind of get to this waiver. We were going to give this to CIPCO at one point because they needed to get access, and it was a wet time, and they couldn't get vehicles back there because it was too wet, so they wanted to put rock on the road. When we established the Level B roads, an ordinance was created that very well stated what could be done to that road in the future, and no rock can be placed under the ordinance on Level B roads. So the waiver is to allow them to put rock on that road, but yet, no, it's still not going to change the level service. That's our concern. Once we allow rock on there, they could assume now it's a Level A, which the board had no intention of bringing this up to a Level A road. In the end, the board only agreed to the waiver with CIPCO because we thought we were real close to CIPCO and the pipeline working with the adjacent property owners to get easements to have legal access to their property, and then the board would be able to vacate the roadway, and then we'd have no involvement with the road after that point.
Which is the ultimate goal, right?
Yes.
I mean, we want to be able to vacate this road. We believe it should be a private drive back to that lone property, or now two properties, but it's Dakota Access and CIPCO. I prefer the idea of having a gate on that. I mean, that'd be up to them.
Yeah.
But I prefer the idea of that being a restricted access, where they're the only ones back there. There's no reason. The farmer on the north owns the entire stretch. The one on the south clearly has access off of 570th. So it makes perfect sense to me that this would go to a private drive. They just need to make the deal with the land, the other two landowners who own to the center line of the road.
That brings us back to now the pipeline needs to build theirs. We have the only pumping station in the state, and that's going to go right on this property next to the substation. So that, like I said, the construction on that starting this week. They would like to put rock on that road. I'm sure after the rains last night, it's probably not in the condition to even drive a pickup down hardly. So they would like to put rock on it. At this time, again, the only way we could allow that is with this waiver. And in the past, the board would only sign this waiver if they knew the pipeline was real close to getting those easements finalized so the board could take action to actually vacate the road. We did hold a hearing already to vacate the road, so that step has been done, so the board could take quick action to actually vacate the road at next week's board meeting if you would like to do that.
But we just can't do it and create an island where they don't have access to their property.
Technically, I think you legally could, but and then the private property owners could go through some sort of legal action to get an easement out. That's not...
It would be prudent for us to do that.
That's not
that.
Legal about it.
So just explain the idea of the vacating the road is contingent upon an agreement with the property owners. Even though they have access to the field from a different way, help me understand a little bit.
So Dakota Access and the power company are the two that don't have off-road access if we vacate this road. The other two property owners do, but that doesn't change that they own to the center line of 303rd.
Okay.
So in order to get access, Dakota Access and or the power company would have to come to some sort of understanding, an agreement, with the other two property owners to get that first half mile and have access there. And that was, Wayne, the requirement when we talked about this 2 months ago?
Yeah, about that.
2 months ago, one of the things that we said is we're not looking to hold, and it was to the power company at that point, we're not looking to hold you up, we're not looking to make your life tougher, but it's not reasonable to us to grant a waiver unless we feel like you're doing your due diligence to get an agreement done with these landowners, because ultimately we'd like to vacate this road. We think it makes more sense to be a private drive.
So do we have any information as to where we're
going? Let's see. Let's find out.
Okay.
Okay. Darren, anything else?
No, that's the fact that I'd like to update Marty a little bit on the 570th issues we had, and we did embargo that road, but we haven't put up the signs yet, but I'll cover that after this.
Okay, so we have a representative from Dakota Access here.
I've got a question for Darren.
Sure.
For the layman here. We gave it a 911 address. What agency in the county does that?
That's the Planning and Zoning Department.
Why did we do that?
The way I understand it is the pumping station, or even the way the platting rules work, they were able to plat this without going through our normal... It wasn't to the level where it required like an interagency review or something, so they're able to do that. I forget the timing of all that. If we started these discussions before, I think the 911 address was first.
Yep.
But I'm not sure zoning was even aware of this was going on at the time.
Does that bind us in any way?
That's a question for the legal counsel, I think.
It's a concern. So, but if we're able to vacate this road, they'll have to move their 911 address signs out to the public roadway, which is 570, and that should alleviate our concerns.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm kind of going. It's just like, okay, we've granted a status to this. Do we have a legal obligation to service this?
We do, but we can have a vacation
of the road. All right. And we're going there. Thank you.
Representative from Dakota Access. Please start by introducing yourself and your relationship to Dakota Access.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Phil Bubb. Oh, this will.
It should pick you up.
My name is Phil Bubb. I'm an attorney at the law firm of Frederickson and Byron. out of their Des Moines office. I am our firm is outside counsel for Dakota Access.
Phil, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So take us through what you know, where we are, and what exactly you guys are asking for today.
Well, I think at this point we are we believe in the home stretch of negotiating with the adjacent landowners to gain access to.
So you have been in contact with both landowners, and
we've been in contact with both landowners. I've not been the attorney primarily negotiating with both landowners, but both landowners, as I understand it, have communicated to us through attorneys. As I understand it, this had started out being a negotiation over easement rights to the property, and has now evolved into a conversation about actually purchasing a tract of land to locate a roadway. And we're working on it. We've apparently made, as I understand it, written offers to both landowners. At least one landowner has now provided a counteroffer demand. And the other landowner, again, I'm getting all my information secondhand, but there's been a delay because the other landowner's attorney has been out of town for a wedding, as I understand it. But just to let you know how sort of current this has been discussions that have been ongoing up through and including yesterday. So we're optimistic that we're headed to a private agreement with at least one, if not both, of the adjacent landowners. I mean, it's obviously difficult to tell you for certain how long that process is going to take. Our numbers are a little bit apart, but we're certainly optimistic we're getting there.
Okay. And Dakota Access is wanting to get in, to have access, and start work 3 days ago.
Yes, sir. You know, this is we've obviously experienced some construction delays that we're trying to work through. This is but this is, you know, a big part of the project that needs to happen, and we're obviously interested in getting into the site and starting work as quickly as we can.
Okay, and so the agreement that you guys have produced, release of all claims, waiver of liability, and Jessica, I'm talking to you as much as I'm talking to Phil here. It states that you guys acknowledge that the county wishes to vacate this road. You acknowledge that the county has no intention of ever maintaining this road beyond the level that it currently is. And you agree that if at the end of the day you don't get this easement done, you'll go in and put the road back like it currently is for the county to keep like that.
Yes.
And you're comfortable with all that, civil attorney, who indicated yes.
Well, now, please explain what you mean as it is, because if they put rock on it, does that mean you're going to go in and scrape the rock off?
That's exactly what it means.
Be back to dirt road?
That's exactly what it means.
Oh, okay. And now
let's all remember. That Dakota Access and the power company, it's not like they're building these two structures and they're never going to need to get back there. I feel secure that Dakota Access and the power company ultimately need a serviceable drive. I mean, so I'm not concerned at all that it's their intent to put down rock and then go in there and have to, at their expense, scrape it up and go back to a dirt road. You know, I find that to be a reasonable thing. Let's talk other issues. So we just handled the haul agreement. We're talking about this waiver right now, which would allow you guys to go in and improve that driveway. I'm going to start calling it a driveway there. To improve that driveway so that you guys can begin construction. This would not be the last thing that Story County has to deal with in terms of Dakota Access. We've got several other issues I mentioned, the conservation ground across the heart of Iowa Nature Trail. We also have some flood permits that have to get done. And I understand it's not your area, but you happen to be the one sitting here from Dakota, representing Dakota Access. I'm frustrated that our floodplain manager, it feels like she's chasing her tail a little bit in getting the appropriate documentation and the filing fees for the floodplain. And so while you're here, I'm going to encourage you to visit with whoever you need to visit with and just say, hey, if you're asking Story County to grant exceptions, if you're asking Story County to take an extra step, to assist you guys, we expect the same in return.
Absolutely.
And so if you could deliver that message for me, I would really appreciate it.
I'll do it.
Anything else? Any questions that we have before we consider the possibility of this release of
well, the pipeline that goes so far? Why did the pumping station go here?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, it's going to display my ignorance of civil engineering. And
it is one of those things that I can just foresee somebody reading an article about this, thinking like, well, this really tethers itself not only to the power, but the pump stations that are present here causing this conundrum the county's facing. It's just like, oh, as you see a map of the pipeline as it transmits itself through the upper United States, why put a pumping station right there? And if you don't have the answer, I accept that, but it's just like, you know, it's one of those things.
I don't have the answer, and I apologize.
So as I recall, this was one of our really early, I don't remember Darren or Jessica, because I know that we were in some conversations early on in this, and as I recall, somebody said, okay, why Story County? And the answer, and it's the only one in Iowa, it's not the only one on this stretch of
right.
of pipeline from North Dakota all the way down to the Mississippi River, and as I understand it, it was logistics of take a look at the map and see where Story County is in terms of this stretch of pipeline in Iowa, and it is, in fact, about the center. And that's how I believe it
came to be.
Any other questions or comments?
So my question comes back to Darren more than anything. As you look at this and have you worked through this process, do you feel comfortable, to the best of your ability, that this waiver, if approved, would clearly indicate what Story County's desires are regarding this particular road, about the future to vacate, which may happen at a later date, and acknowledge that it will not change the classification for what's being done.
And it's actually a better alternative. CIFCO actually had to put some big wood planking down in some low spots and because they couldn't put rock on the road. This is a better solution, in my opinion. So somebody could hit those wood planking and see the county concerned that, too. So this, I think, is a better solution in the end. But we just couldn't get that agreement with CIFCO.
Jessica, you would feel like something like this would put the county in as defensible a position as possible for what our intent is? Other questions? If not, I would love some kind of motion for consideration.
I would move approval of the waiver of liability between Story County and Dakota Access.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Phil, thank you for your time. Please do take my message back.
I absolutely will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Darren, thanks, man. You wanted to come back and update us on something else.
Just real quick, I just wanted everybody to be aware. If you recall, when CIFCO was hauling in, we had some, that was frost boil season on our gravel roads. I'm thinking of a picture. Yeah, that this is real hard to see, but this is the road 570 leading up to 303rd.
And that is not a dirt road.
It's not a dirt road. It turned into one, and it was basically, that was after we bladed it. It was essentially impassable for the residents that lived there, and CIFCO would not stop hauling. I requested they at least stop so we can get it fixed, and they would not. We did bail them for these damages, $12,000 for the rock we had to put on the road. And it took a week for me to get an embargo on the board agenda and get it passed, so it's hard to get that done quickly. So they did do damage to the road. The board did pass the embargo. We have not signed it yet on the road. And I do not know what the pumping station entails. Like I say, that's another planning zoning doesn't necessarily regulate the pumping stations. We haven't seen details on what that entails at all yet. So I don't know what kind of things are going to be coming in here. So I'm concerned this road could get tore up.
How are our frost boils right now? So this is a combination of a frost boil and really heavy truck traffic.
Heavy loads. Most of it's healed up fine. There's just one across over the top of that hill that's still a little bit soft. It concerns me, but I just want to make you aware we could sign at any time at this point, and then...
Then you can force them to take a different route.
Essentially force... They would have no access with heavier vehicles. We'd have 10-ton limit on the road, so they could not get in there with anything either way because that embargo covered both north and south, 3rd and 3rd. So it would limit their access with heavy vehicles to it, period. That is a concern, but if they're tearing up the road when the residents don't have access, I don't know what's
going on. Well, my question earlier, have they paid for the damages that's already occurred?
Yes, I believe they have.
And that's the power company, not Dakota Access.
Correct.
Right. And so do we have any thing in writing that says that if the road is damaged by Dakota Access, that they will be held liable for that since it's not listed as one of the roads?
It is one of the roads in the haul agreement, so it's covered under the haul
agreement. Oh, well, it's covered, yeah. Okay.
The frustrating part is that is you can't stop them from hauling then, even if they're tearing up the road.
But you can with the embargo.
With the embargo, you can.
Yep. So you have that in your pocket. The board's passed it. If you need to use it, use it.
Yep. I just wanted to bring Marty up to speed since you haven't been involved with the history on this spring. It's
nothing. Been kind of I didn't read in the paper. But I did see the crowds that this generated here this spring, and I would not be envious of to sit up here when you guys had to deal with
that's
that.
That's just when the fun begins, man. Welcome to the club. Anything else for us here?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so no agency reports today, no departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. The board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us on any topic, seeing no one moving. Liaison assignments, committee updates, Wayne?
No, don't have any.
Marty, anything yet?
No, sir.
Announcements from Supervisor Wayne?
I'm thinking Aging Resources is going to be this Thursday, and I believe the juvenile detention on Friday. I don't know where. At some point, Marty, I'm wondering when your schedule allows that I could take you to those meetings so that you could be introduced and kind of see how they operate. I'm certainly willing to go ahead this week.
At the end of this month, we will be dealing with more of a normal schedule in regards to being a county supervisor. Okay. So I'll give you that time frame.
Wayne, thank you for taking those two on.
Okay.
In the meantime, Marty, any announcements?
I'd like to thank everybody in the county government that has reached out to help me become an effective supervisor because I've had some very substantive and quality help to put me at this table and make me a functioning member.
Well, and so just back at you, I've appreciated your willingness to dig in. This is not always an easy thing, as I think our treasurer, auditor, recorder realized when they were sitting in these chairs making the appointment a few weeks ago. And I genuinely appreciate the effort that you've put into this point. Really, really valued your input today. And let's keep moving.
Thank you.
Civil attorney.
Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5 sub 1 sub 3, the Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the Board of Supervisors enter into a closed session to discuss strategy with counsel in matters that are presently in litigation or where litigation is imminent or if disclosure would be likely to prejudice or disadvantage the position of Story County in said litigation.
Okay. I would move that we accept the Assistant County Attorney's recommendation and go into closed session.
I would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. We're going to take a 2-minute recess and then we're going to be in closed session. When we're done with closed session, we will come back in here and gavel back into regular session. Shell, let me know when you're ready, Shell.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to call us back into regular session and ask the Civil Attorney Jessica Reynolds to lead us back in.
We are now in open session, and by my watch, it is 12:07.
Okay. You need a new watch for the record.
New watch. I think I'm going to need an increase in my salary for that.
Okay. It doesn't require any official motion other than the fact that we are now in
a full. I got us back in the session.
All right. Mr. Chair, I would move to approve the county attorney's request for outside counsel as county attorney has a conflict.
I second that. We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Outside counsel is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing further, I take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Be here too.
Now, do we have to be here too?